Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man, otherwise known as Bruce.
And today we are talking about a sports ball.
Sports ball. Or the money ball, because a lot of it's going to have to deal with money.
A lot of it's going to deal with money. This is money season. Money, 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 money.
Apparently.
Money, 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 money. For old time's sake.
So do we want to start with college or pro?
I don't care.
Okay, let's do college, because I think I have more to say on pro than I do that. Mostly because, I mean, what we know isn't much. It's a vague thing. So we'll just get into it. President Trump has come out with an executive order directing various government agencies to get a rein on money in college athletics, specifically directing like the Department of Education and other agencies into limiting or eliminating essentially NIL, pay for play, third party endorsements for college athletes. Most of what he has said on it is nothing new. It's mostly reiterating Section 9.
Title 9.
Sorry, Title 9.
You know, the one that protects women's sports, basically.
Right. And he's basically said, we got to make sure that we keep funding and keep scholarships up for women's sports and Olympic sports to keep on pace. I really don't know how that's going to work, mostly since we've already gotten legal precedent that NIL is legal.
Effectively, it's a Supreme Court case, right? So this is case law. Which is, I'm not going to say it's not the flimsiest, right? It's also not the strongest. It is the strangest kind of law. When the courts decide to make laws, it always comes out very strange, right? Because it wasn't a bunch of people together trying to figure out, you know, how to make this work across a broad group of people, or, you know, what, however big the legislature is, whether it's a city or a state or a you know, the whole country. It's decided by 1 to 9 judges, depending on the number of people involved. So it's sort of their position on something. And a lot of times the way this falls out in the courts is they upend laws. They don't necessarily lay down what the actual rules are. So what they said was that, in effect, people had rights to their own name, image, and likeness. Like the colleges didn't own them.
Right.
Right. Which is fine. That does not preclude Congress making laws or alternatively departments in the executive branch of the government, which is the departments that do stuff, making their own rules, and those rules either being ratified or not ratified by actions of the department or the president or the courts. So I think, you know, what the president is doing is trying to throw this into a place where, okay, we can make rules, like we can make laws, but what it is, it's throwing it back into a different arena, right? So the court came down and said, no, what the NCAA / what the colleges are doing is wrong, and you can't do that. But what they didn't say is what you could do, or that you couldn't also do this, or, and so it leaves it kind of very wide open and wimbly wobbly. Like there's one defined thing that you can't do, or one set of things that you can't do. And so using the Department of Education is an interesting way to go. I think it's probably for college athletics the right way to go. Maybe they'll actually have a decent purpose now, but I digest. So now,
okay, wait. You're saying that a better use for the Department of Education is to use it on sports? Not to mention, you just went on a thing about people that aren't lawmakers making laws.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, by throwing it back into the rulemaking authority of the departments, effectively, of the executive branch, it sets another potential problem up, because then it becomes a tennis match between the executive branch and the judiciary branch, where in reality, it needs to go to the legislature, and the legislature actually has to make rules on this, because there was another court case last year that came out of the Supreme Court that said, effectively, your executive branch departments can't make law in a regulatory manner. The law, the actual rules need to flow from the legislative branch, not the executive branch. And, you know, there was a big argument at the time, because everybody, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, no, that like it's going to strip the EPA and the such and such and such and such of all their power. And I'm like, not really. Like
they just have to get their guidelines from the legislative. I mean,
right.
The departments can still do their thing. They're the enforcement of the legislative.
Because what was happening and what had happened for a long time now was the legislative branch was like, well, it's really hard to get enough people to agree to something except really vague statements. So we're just going to pass laws that have lots of really vague statements that give the executive branch departments the ability to make wide sweeping rules.
And we'll let the courts tell us what we did wrong.
Right.
It was, you know, it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Right. And far be it from me to want my legislative representatives to do their jobs and actually make law instead of passing that buck on to people in the executive branch. So then the rest of America gets to just change every 4 to 8 years when the executive branch changes.
Basically, though, here's the thing. It shows that the NCAA was so inept and so not taking care of their business that they basically said, hey, we'll let the federal government tell us what to do. And in that way, we can't take any of the blame and we'll still get all this money.
Right.
They just abjected their responsibility to a point where they felt that government was needed to come in to do their job.
Like, how bad do you have to be?
Right. Like, all this could be avoided. This wouldn't be a story if the NCAA did their job. And the problem was that they did their job in such a way that they looked like bullies to children and therefore not actually doing anything that enhanced college sports for everybody. It wasn't good for the universities. It wasn't good for the students. I mean, I guess it was good for the universities, but it built up a problem.
Right.
Like, the reason why we had this problem is because these universities were making over tea kettle, you know, just making huge amounts of money.
Oh, yeah. Millions and millions of dollars on the backs of these semi-unpaid
young adults. And when they were getting paid for it, they were smacked on the hands and say, how dare you make money off of this?
Right. You're getting a scholarship. How dare you? And I'm like, okay.
We're making millions of dollars and we gave you $40,000 a year.
Right. You know, hilariously, to a, let's say, a tennis player or a swimmer or, you know, a track and field person, that's a lot of money.
Sure.
that's a huge payday.
Right. That was worth it. But that's not the sports that we're getting all the attention and that we're making the millions upon millions of dollars, you know, yeah. The basketball and the football and maybe baseball.
Oh, baseball. Yes.
Okay. They were getting absurd amounts of money and the athletes in the middle, the 1% of them every year from every college that maybe have made it into any form of professional athletics, the rest of them just got kind of left behind.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this over and over. So for our listeners who are tired of hearing about this, sorry, it's just relevant news. And this is exactly the point, is that we're basically going back to square one. We thought we kind of had this handled. And really the reason why it wasn't handled was because the NCAA itself didn't do its job. And so now you give our current president a reason to wade into essentially the gladiatorial arena, you know, to distract people with, you know. As if this was a more major problem than the other things we have going on.
Right. Then the like 8 wars that are going around the world. If you're listening to this in America, you only know about 2 of them because that's all our news covers.
You know, jobs and tariffs and these other things that are way more important. But those are hard challenges, you know, to actually take care of. But this one, it's one that everyone's going to debate till the end of time. And I can look like I'm doing something.
Right. I'm interested to see where it goes and what happens. I really don't know what's gonna. My hope is that in a better world we end up with, let's say, a subset of the Department of Education that works with the NCAA in the pursuit of higher education promotion to figure out how to do college sports with money that doesn't just make this like the minor league of the NFL.
Right.
Because that's where we're at.
I see the next step happening, because if this starts going back to the way it was, what's going to end up happening is a bunch of these kids, a lot of them that already have agents, are going to get more kids to come with those agents. And those agents are going to bring in professional agents to help direct these kids into a players union.
Yeah, I could see that.
I can see it if it goes the bad direction, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Where nobody's happy.
Well, yeah. That's usually why unions form, because nobody's happy.
Right.
And then It just continues that.
And the funny part is because if we go back the way we do, nothing's really going to change. It's just going to go back under board like it did before. You know, the universities are still going to spend money on these kids. They're going to find a way to give these kids money and for them to either not get caught or at least get a slap on the wrist or somehow just get away with it.
Yeah, we can't go fully backwards, right? Because we can't. You know, the rule can't be that there's no NIL. You know, that's already case law.
You and I would agree with that. I'm not sure that that's necessarily off the table.
Legally, it is. Like, per the court orders, the NIL belongs to the individual student athletes. There can be rules about how that gets used, but ultimately, right now, that you can't take that away from them. The other thing is that there is money. I want to say the actual legislative action on this was the $20 million per school. That can go to athletics.
Right.
So effectively they've lifted, and I got to be honest, I'm not really sure why there was a ban in the first place, besides the NCAA, but they effectively put in place that said, yeah, universities are allowed to, more or less, if I'm picturing this correctly, the NCAA's rule was that student athletes could not be paid by the university.
Before, yeah.
Right, before. And the legislative branch of the federal government of the United States of America walked up behind the NCAA and grabbed its wrist and put it behind its back and twisted it and said, no, they can pay him $2 million or $20 million.
Right, 20 and a half.
Yeah, because the NCAA isn't a government agency, right? It's a
regulatory body, but
I think it's technically a nonprofit, if I remember right. But it's MLB or the NFL, which I think both of those are technically nonprofits as well, if I remember right.
Yeah, like you want to look at those books and go, how is it nonprofit?
You know? Well, they used to fall under a portion of the tax code that was not for profit. That portion of the tax code went away, golly, the first year of first Trump administration, because that was part of the Tax Reform Act.
Uh-huh.
What happened to those organizations that were at the time not for profit? They kind of fell into another section of nonprofit, but they're, I want to say private clubs is what they fall under now. I'm not entirely certain about that, but I think it's the same clause. So they're not 501c3s. So 501c3 is either education or charity, something of that nature. There's another section. It's like 509 or 507, something or other, that these organizations fall under. So they're not profit-driven organizations. So the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the governing organizations are not technically for profit. I agree with Bruce. There's probably a lot of books cooking.
We got it on record. He agrees with me.
I know, right? I know, you bastard. This is all just a setup for that. The whole episode.
Gotcha.
Everything is just to get me to say that I agree with you. Well, I'm done.
The things it takes, man. Things that it takes.
I'm done.
I don't even have a college degree. I fooled you.
Sir.
Even got you to call me sir. It's just winning. It's all coming up Milhouse.
You just compared yourself to Milhouse.
You know what? Just let me have this, man. So, yeah.
So it's a three-ring circus, full, all three portions of government now involved.
All because the NCAA couldn't do its freaking job.
Right. You have a lot of these sort of co-organizations out there, right? So you have FERC, which is the Federal Electric Reliability Council, right? And their governance is over the grid, right? The bulk electricity system in the United States of America. They want to ensure that it works. Because pretty much everybody's lives depend on it now all the time. Just think about, you know, living without electricity for a week.
I was going to say, dude, there's a certain irony of you talking about that, being that you live in Texas.
I'm fully aware. I also work in a power plant.
I'm just not sure that our listeners are aware of the irony.
Really?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure most of them are. Either way, so FERC exists, right? And they're a rulemaking organization and enforcement, but parallel to them is a group called NERC, National Electric Reliability Council, right? And this is a similar kind of organization. It's a parent organization over all of the electricity providers or electricity producers in the United States of America. And what they do is they provide a way to comply with the rules, because this is what happens. The federal government puts out rules, right? Whether they're legislatively created rules or their rulemaking under the authority of the executive branch, which has kind of been stripped a little bit, which is a good thing. So it's all back to the legislative branch. So they have these rules, right? And then you have to comply with them. But there's a lot of how do I comply with this? And the example I will give you is spent nuclear fuel. The rule, I'm trying to remember the Code of Federal Regulations, 10 CFR. I'm not going to go into it, but there's a number and a letter and another sub number, if I remember correctly, that go along with the rule that says thou shalt know where all your spent nuclear fuel is. Good rule. So the NRC has to enforce that. How? Do I just tell them? Yeah, I know where it all is. Do I give them a map and say, yep, this is where it all is? Do I give them movement sheets from the last 20 years and say, yep, this is where it was and where we moved it? And like, there's a lot of questions about what. And so there are these organizations that exist, right, for the nuclear world. It's INPO, Institute of Nuclear Power Operations, that look at the NRC's rules, the Nuclear Regulatory Commissions, and they say, these are the rules. Here's a way to comply with those. Mm-hmm. And then everybody looks at that and says, yeah, that's about right. And then they do that. And then everybody's happy because the rule is complied with. Everybody's got a standard. Everybody's good. And so that is kind of what I'm hoping happens with the Department of Education, whatever sub branch of that ends up working with the NCAA. I'm not really hopeful because of how jacked up the NCAA has jacked everything.
Right. But I mean, the funny part is like, I kind of think that that's how the NCAA should have been to begin with.
Yeah.
Right. Because like growing up, you just, you know, you hear about the NCAA as like a brand and whatnot. You're like, okay, but the NCAA told students they couldn't do this, that, or universities couldn't do this and that, or head coaches couldn't recruit like this or that. I'm like, oh, that sounds like their job is to regulate, you know, college sports. But in reality, they fought for a little bit, but they're like, oh, but, you know, the conferences threatened to leave. So we'll just sit back quietly and take their money and then find other ways to make money and take their money and then just, you know, pretend we're, you know, in our offices doing stuff.
You know, that's because they had no fangs, right? There's no claws. They're not a regulatory branch of the government. There's no guns behind them, right? Mm-hmm. Right. No one's going to kick down the office and audit them and drag you off to jail because you were inside trading.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine the scenario where you're putting, you know, an 18-year-old in handcuffs because he decided to pawn his national championship ring for a tattoo.
Yeah, so we're all on the same page that the NCAA should not have that authority.
Well, I'm not sure that it should ever get to that point, you know, but yeah, no, you know.
While that would be a bridge too far, I think them kicking the doors down of presidents of colleges who are taking kickbacks from rich boosters in order to put, you know, certain kids in certain places on sports teams. Yeah, I think that's something that should happen.
Well, you know, and I don't know what the classroom requirements are for these athletes, but I could tell you watching the training camp for NFL for the last few years, and the NFL Players Association has put some pretty strict rules for practices, you know, in the off season. They're pretty thorough. Like, you can only practice so many times, you know, for so many hours, for so many days, for each week, you know, leading up to this point and that point. And you can only have this many contact, you know, sessions and that session and this, that, and the other thing. Like, it's interesting that they really are nitpicky for these professionals. And I'll tell you what, the professionals still get hurt in practice. So
it still happens, regrettably.
I think maybe a little more clarity in how that works for students might alleviate a lot of stress, like, you know, the classroom requirements for these kids and making sure that they are, in fact, getting an education.
An actual education, something they can use after college in the event that they don't get picked up for, or they don't get any NIL money and they don't get picked up for.
Right, you know, on the off chance when they're on Fox or, you know, CBS this year and they put their major at the bottom of the screen, they might actually be learning stuff in that major.
And not, well, yeah. You could even kind of get around that as a college by having somebody just, you know, stay for 8 years. I don't really mind that, to be honest. You know, like, I take real basic classes.
You know, after that four and he's no longer on the team, he still actually gets the rest of his actual education.
Right.
It's just that's not, as far as I know, and I haven't done a ton of research, but that's more of my point, is that we don't know that these kids are actually getting an education for the 95 to 98% that don't go beyond college sports.
I think the reality is we do know, and that the answer is mostly no. Not, you know, it's not true everywhere. Like there's a lot of schools that have their own individual policies that ensure that the student athletes actually get good grades. And
well, for certain, you don't hear the stories of the star running back, you know, going on to be a professor of physics, you know, or, you know, right. a celebrated physics teacher in a public school somewhere or something.
Yeah. Not happening that often. Not saying it hasn't.
Right.
But if you want to prove us wrong,
by all there's
your challenge, folks.
I don't mind being told I'm wrong. That's why I say shit. Usually when I say shit, people tell me I'm wrong. And I learn something. It's an interesting way to learn. I'll grant you. But I mean, it does actually learn.
So tell us we're wrong on Facebook. The challenge is finding a running back who went on to be a celebrated physics teacher in a public school system. Closest wins. I'll tell you what the prize is, other than counting us wrong, which is, of course, the best winning of all time, as Charlie Sheen well knows.
I guess we'll roll on to big subject number two, which is this week on July 28th of 2025. Rob Manfred is the Major League Baseball commissioner. Apparently throughout the year goes and tours different clubhouses for the different teams. And he happened to be in the clubhouse for the Philadelphia Phillies. And he came to tell, you know, just do talk and talk about, you know, hey, how you guys doing? You know, what's going on? This is what we're thinking. And Bryce Harper, who is a big star in Major League Baseball, and I say that because he's got a big contract, stood up and went nose to nose with the commissioner of Major League Baseball and said, if you're going to talk about a salary cap, you can get the F out of my clubhouse. And so this is the preamble to basically over the last few months, the discussion has started to rise about putting a salary cap in Major League Baseball.
Just to give you a feel.
Sure.
Bryce Harper makes $26 million.
Yes.
Annually.
And he's not even the top 10. The 10th guy in the top 10 is Corbin Burns from the Arizona Diamondbacks. You probably don't know who he is. I sure as heck don't know who he is.
Nobody knows who Corbin Burns is.
Right.
Not even Corbin.
He's getting paid $35 million this year to play for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Shohei Ohtani at the top of the list getting paid $70 million this year.
Yeah, and these are part of multi-year contracts. Bryce Harper is $26 million a year for 13 years.
Right.
Just think about that. 13 years at $26 million.
Oh, he's not even the worst case scenario. The funny part is I thought Shohei Ohtani would have been because he's a phenom, and I get why they're paying him what they're paying him. No, no. Juan Soto of the New York Mets is going to get paid $765 million for 15 years. All of it guaranteed.
Yeah.
These guys are paid absurd amounts of money, and none of these guys have won a World Series save Shohei Ohtani. Of course, he plays on a team with like three other major, you know, Justin Verlander's on his team and Mookie Betts is on his team. So they actually have more than one megastar, but most of these guys are the only megastars on their team and their teams can't afford anybody else.
Right. If you haven't heard of Verlander, he has won a couple of World Series with the Houston Astros. So,
and he's not on this top 10 list.
Right. Let's talk about this a little bit. The salary cap is something that is a little bit anomalous in the world of sports. Sports has, for most of its time, been and most sports, I shouldn't say all sports, but most sports, for most time, has been a completely open competitive market. The NFL did something very interesting, curious, strange, but ultimately, we all think it's probably been for the best for the players, the fans, the ball clubs, the cities they're in. And that is introduced what's called a salary cap. So let's go over what a salary cap is. I'm reading here. A salary cap is based on a complicated calculation that measures the league's revenue or certain revenues and then apportions around 48% of that revenue to player costs. That player cost number is comprised of two components, one, player benefits, and two, player salaries. The player salaries portion is what we're talking about when we refer to the salary cap. For instance, in 2024, the overall player cost number was $329.4 million, while the salary cap was $255.4 million. The difference between those numbers, $74 million, was the player benefits amount. Player benefits include pension, health insurance, disability, tuition, and other benefits available to players over and above their wages. For 2024, the league-wide salary cap was set at $255.4 million. The 2025 salary cap has not been announced, but is expected to be in the $270 to $270 million range. Annually, the amount of the league-wide salary cap is usually announced around the end of February or early March. So, effectively, a team in the NFL cannot play its players collectively more than $255 million a year.
Right.
About $270 million for the coming or this year, which will start soon. What that means is I can't just go out and buy all the superstars. Let's say I had all the money. Let's say I'm Jerry Jones of the Cowboys and I have all the money in the world. I can't just go out and pay 10 guys, 75 million contracts each and storm over and rule over the game of baseball, of football. That's not true in baseball or basketball. Hockey, I guess. Not true in soccer either. So,
right. I was going to say basketball and hockey both have salary caps as well.
Okay. Sorry. But yeah, so not true in baseball, right? So we get these teams, aka the Yankees and the Dodgers, New York City, LA, who have just ridiculous amounts of money just laying around, swimming in cash. And they can just throw all of this cash, and the New York Mets, they can throw all this cash at players. And they buy the best players and therefore buy the championships. There was a time, and I'm not sure we're still there, but there was a time when the Yankees had a quarter of all World Series wins. I mean, think about that. A single team out of, you know, what, 30-something has 25% of all championship wins. Like the Dodgers have their own list. Their ball clubs, like the Cardinals, who made a run at it for a while. Back in St. Louis's heyday, you know, usually what you want to see for a sport to be good, in my opinion, to be well-liked by the fans, is a kind of cyclical playthrough. And the NFL has built themselves up to be that, right? The salary cap, the way the draft is done. It's very strange because it's not just laissez-faire capitalism. It's a system designed to make it so that teams that can make a lot of money from their stadium tickets can't just buy the game.
Right.
I honestly think the problem is even worse in football. Sorry, well, I say football because I'm talking about English, the English soccer leagues. I think the English football leagues, I think it's even worse there because there's no salary caps
right.
at any level.
Right.
And very literally, the teams that make the most money buy the best players and continue to stand on top of the other teams.
From my understanding, though, of the team owners is they are ridiculously rich people, like a tier down from Saudi rich people.
Oh, yeah. No,
like they have absurd amounts of money.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball owners are not that. I mean, these are guys that collectively, you know, have some money as like a family group or as a sporting group, and they barely get enough to buy the team. And then they try to find ways of making money, most notably trying, like you said, through ticket sales and things like that. NFL owners. Yeah, they're pretty rich, probably not as rich as English soccer league owners.
Yeah, nobody beats them. Like as far as like sport ownership.
Right.
If you own a Premier League, let's be specific here, maybe even a Championship League, but a Premier League soccer team, you're on a very select list of rich people.
Right. You're on the list that nobody knows who you are. That's how rich you are.
You've entered that realm.
Right.
So, but the thing with baseball is, and I think the problem we all have with it, you know, we all hate the Yankees. We all hate the Dodgers, right? And anytime they go to the World Series, its viewership drops like a freaking rock. Because nobody cares. Nobody cares if the Yankees win or the Dodgers win. Nobody cares. It sucks for Ohtani because I'd almost want to watch just to watch him, but I'm not going to.
Well, again, like so he's the guy. Yeah, I'd go to see him because at least once, maybe twice in any given year while he's still at his prime. Because, yes, he is absolutely that player that you want to go see live because you'll probably never see anybody like him ever again. But that's about it. Like you said, if you're not the Yankees or the Dodgers, if you got a player that's on your roster that's making that much money, making that kind of money, your team's not going to the World Series. It's not winning because the other eight guys aren't worth, you know, that kind of money, which means their talent isn't worth that kind of money. And it's just money that those guys will never make their worth what their contract is. The $700 million, Ohtani will never make that money for the Dodgers. That is just an absurd amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, Francisco Lindor's got like a $340 million contract that the Mets will never get that money back.
Yeah.
And they're going to pay him 10 years after he's been retired.
This speaks to the average American who sees that, and these people are, you know, effectively clowns, right? They're performing clowns, right? They're very good at what they do, but ultimately
they're entertainers. Okay, fine. Yes.
If we want to go a step further, we could say acrobats, right? Because acrobats are extremely skilled, extremely tough and strong and all that stuff, but they're performers.
Right.
This is entertainment. This is not making something that causes you to have life, like food or water. We tend to pay those people crap.
Well, in the case of baseball, it's hard to put the money into it like you would football because there's just so much of it.
Yeah.
There's 162 games. Football's got 17, and that number keeps going up, sure, because people want more football. But ultimately, it's once a week.
Now we're at 18.
Oh, 18.
Yeah, we're at 18 now.
And it's still going to go up. You're going to see preseason just go away and get replaced by regular season games. But there's 162 baseball games. So what you look for if you want to go see your team, you know, as much as you want, is a lower ticket price so you can go and enjoy yourself when you get there. So you're just not making, if you've got somebody on your team that's making so much money that they have to raise ticket prices and raise the price of jerseys and whatnot, you're just not going to make that money because you're not going to be able, the teams aren't going to be able to get the people into the stadium.
Yeah. I was a season ticket holder, the Rangers, right? Mm-hmm. I had a 10% discount on all merchandise. I did not buy a single jersey because it was still going to be like $150.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I'm not that kind of guy who can drop 150 bucks on a t-shirt or a shirt.
I'm lucky that I got people that love me that get those things for me for Christmas or my birthday.
Yeah.
That's how I end up with my jerseys and whatnot.
Yeah. I don't shop at Neiman Marcus. I can't blow 500 bucks on a pair of slacks.
Right.
Just that I can get, you know, for $27 at Walmart. It's going to last about the same amount of time that person is going to wear those slacks. And hilariously, the $500 pair of slacks would probably last for like 30 years, but they're going to wear it for like one and then get another one. Whereas I'm going to wear my $26 Walmart pants until, like, you know, the knees blow out.
I was going to say the crotch opens up.
Or the crotch gives up. And that's going to last me 5 years. Yeah, I digress. But I've often thought about standing outside of Neiman Marcus with a sign that says, after you spend $1,000 on a shirt, could you spare 50 bucks to help me save my son's life? Like, it's just clothing. I mean, come on. Who cares? Nobody cares. Stupid people on the internet care, but the rest of us don't care.
We enter this funny thing with baseball players because, you know, as you just saw with Bryce Harper, you know, he hates the idea that there could be a salary cap. To me, that's me go looking to a guy, go, you haven't done anything for me lately, and you mentioned about your pay that's absurd. And there's 1,000 guys in the minor leagues that would happily take your place just to breathe the air on that field.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's clear that I understand you want to get as much money as you can. Anybody would. I mean, if, you know, someone offered me $400 million, even though I probably wasn't worth it, I'd say, yeah, I'm worth it. Of course I would. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, who wouldn't? I mean, and it's, yeah, how are you going to tell me I'm not? Like, maybe I am, even if I'm not. Like, objectively, I don't have that. I'm not God. I don't have God's viewpoint. There's no objectivity here. It's everybody's like trying to figure it out. So, like, sure, I could be worth that million. I don't know.
But it's just the idea of just being so mad at your boss to just tell, you know, go F yourself. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I'm sorry. He's not, by putting the salary cap, you're not going to be in the poorhouse. Okay. There's just no way.
You've probably
already made enough money in the few years that you've been in baseball that you're set for life if you're smart enough, okay, and your kids and your grandkids,
you need 1 year,
right? You know,
a minor leaguer that gets pulled into a single major league game gets signed onto a contract and gets something like $600,000 to $700,000
right
that year, you're set for life. Like, you don't need more than that if you use that money correctly, like pay off your debts and put the rest into investments/savings. then you're fine. Now, if you're going to have 40 quote unquote family members who work for you and you're going to pay each of them $1,000 a month salary, then yeah, you're going to be in the poorhouse. But that's why if you're coming out of a college system that didn't actually give you an education, you probably need a finance guy.
Right. I find it hard to believe that any agent wouldn't be like, yeah, you need to get yourself a CPA.
I think they all do. I just think... Right. Like everybody, if you're really good at something, you think you're smarter than everybody else. And it really doesn't matter what you're good at. Like, and that blows my mind. I'm like the basketball players. Oh, yeah, I'm smarter than everybody else. Like, no, you're not. You're a clown. You're an entertainer. And I don't care what you think about politics.
Know that your shelf life and doing what you do is short run. So I get why, you think that you deserve that money. But still, the short amount of time that you're doing what you're doing, you're still going to make enough money to set yourself, your kids, and probably your grandkids if you're smart enough.
Yeah.
And even at the end of that, you have enough time to make yourself smart enough.
Exactly. You have downtime.
Right. What I'm getting at is that we're probably looking at the end of next year when the next collective bargaining agreement happens, is that there's going to be another lockout, maybe for an entire season. And I don't see how baseball can really survive without doing it, because you have a team like the Minnesota Twins and the family that owns it trying to sell this team. Now, they claim the team is worth $1.7 billion, but they also have $450 million in debt. And a bunch of that is having to pay players that no longer play for them, that have since retired or moved to another team where they owe them money. So essentially, you're looking at, if you're wanting to buy that team, $2.15 billion. And a bunch of that going to something that you have to pay for somebody else's deals.
Yeah. It's something you're having to pay with zero benefit. Right. You get zero benefit for paying that.
And this is probably a reality for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
It's the reason why the Oakland A's are moving from Oakland to Las Vegas. It's why the Montreal Expos are no longer a baseball team, and that there's now only one Canadian baseball team.
So sad when that happened.
It's why, people worry about the Florida Marlins. It's why people worry about the Colorado Rockies. My Guardians are playing the Colorado Rockies. They played them yesterday, today, and they got the last game tomorrow. They are 50 games below 500, meaning they're 50 games short of having as many wins as they do losses. And so... you got to wonder how they drive people in. And I can see a lot of these teams going under because they just can't afford it, because they can't afford good players, or at least have enough money to compete.
Yeah.
And so the salary cap in baseball is just going to level the playing field.
I've actually gone and seen the Rockies in person. I have to admit, their ballpark reminds me of like a really nice minor league ballpark. It does not feel like a major league ballpark in there. Like, you go to the Rangers or the Astros or the Reds or the Cardinals or a lot of these teams, and it feels like the big show, right? Which is, the term for major league baseball, the big show. It feels that way. You go to, and funny enough, you go to Yankee Stadium and it kind of feels like a minor league because it's just tiny. It's a tiny little stadium.
Have you been to Yankee Stadium?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I've never been, so I don't know if I'd want to go. I couldn't wear my stuff without being harassed.
That's a sports problem in general. Like, there's some places I will not go to go watch a game of my team because I don't want to deal. Like, I don't think I would go to Philly and watch my team play in Philly.
So we're going to get off the topic for just a quick second. I saw a viral video of this kid who went to the Cowboys training camp session wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey. And I mean, like, a kid, I'm talking like he couldn't have been older than 10 or 12. Yeah. And sure enough, there were, grown adults booing this kid.
I mean, it's the Eagles. They boo Santa Claus. Freaking Philly fans. Oh my gosh. I told my kids that. I was like, yeah, they boo Santa Claus. And they're like, what? It's the worst thing ever. And I'm like, I agree.
And I hate the Eagles, man.
Even though they won the Super Bowl last year.
So yeah, I just think it's another thing that baseball's been going through a lot of changes, and I think this one has to happen in order for it to survive. And I think once we get a salary cap and we find a few years where teams start paying players, and they make deals all the time now where you're going to pay them after they're done playing. Shohei Ohtani has got $50 million of his contract deferred to between the years of 2032 and 2041. Huh. That's what's going to have to happen for a lot of those big contracts. And then they're just going to have to deal with multi-year contracts and things like that. So that way they can afford players and they can afford nice things in their stadium to get people in there for more than twice a year.
Right. And you don't have to charge $37 for a hot dog. You can right. be like the Atlanta Braves, or is it the Falcons? Either way, I think it's the Braves. Okay, ticket prices and then super affordable concessions.
I know the Guardians do. They do a monthly plan where $54 for a standing room ticket, and for you in that month you get to go to every home game, and they do dollar dog nights, they do early entry for $2 millers and things like that.
Yeah.
So they always got something going on.
The problem I see is that if there's another lockout, I don't know if baseball survives, because let's be honest, they're locking out because there's going to be a salary cap and we don't want one, blah, 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 blah. And to all of us, it's a bunch of crying babies.
This is the real hiccup. I was looking into this, and 3 years ago, the minor league players got pulled into the Major League Baseball Players Association. And at the time, I know I celebrated that because, you know, minor league players, they've got it really rough. They're like starving actors waiting for their big break, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have to juggle having a job and a family and going to the ballpark because they want, you know, they want their chance.
It's your spring job, your spring family, your spring home, and then your summer home, your summer job, your summer family.
At the time, it helped when they signed on. It helped them raise their quality of life. But now the minor league players will have to be forced to strike lockout with the other players. And that would be the group of people that if you're a owner of a Major League Baseball team, you turn to and say, hey, we can keep this play game going. People don't care. They just want to go to the game. Yes, they want a good product, but you know what? They'll watch guys trying.
Yeah, I enjoy minor league games. I enjoy minor league games a lot. Like in the Rough Rider stadiums these days, they're huge. They're filled.
You saw the John Oliver thing?
Oh, yeah, John
he said, you need to go to a minor league baseball game because it is like the greatest form of entertainment there is. And he actually went.
Yeah, by far. And he's even offering to pay for crazy stuff that minor league teams do.
And then you got Savannah Banana Baseball. That's been a mm-hmm. huge hit. I mean,
yeah, that's now it's expanded into its own league. Now it's the Bananas now.
Yep. You guys got a team there in Texas.
The Gators, I think. I mean, granted, we do have a lot of them in like the Houston Beaumont area, which I guess is probably where the team's from. But yeah, I had a chance at tickets and I didn't check my email that day. And by the time I did, they were sold out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they boast the fact that they don't sell third party. They don't have ticketing fees, whatnot. If you see a ticketing fee, it means it's not a real ticket. So, you know, they sell out their stadiums all the time.
Yeah. And if you don't know what we're talking about, so it's sort of like the Harlem Globetrotters, except for baseball.
Right.
Is the best way to explain it. They do all kinds of trick, crazy stuff.
There was an episode of King of the Hill that did it on something similar.
Yeah.
It was like a charity event.
If you wear one of their jerseys to the game and you catch a foul ball, that counts as an out. Because you're on the team, obviously, because you're wearing the jersey. And they'll, like, lift you up and carry you onto the field. It's impressive. Like, go look it up. It's cool. Savannah Bananas.
Not that they're going to listen to us, but, I mean, Major League Baseball is going to be worried because that could be the thing that replaces them.
Yeah.
And as much as I'm sure that's a fun show to go see, I'd rather watch real baseball.
I like to watch the real game. I like to watch the big show. I like the minor leagues. I just don't know how well. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I've always been a Rangers fan. Mm-hmm. We went to the World Series that year. I think I went to 10 games during the normal season. I went to 2 postseason games, you know, the American League Championship Series and then the World Series. I got to go to 2 of those games. And then the year after that, I became a season ticket holder. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we barely, I don't even think we made 500 that year. Like mm-hmm. We were like 0.497 or something. And so I dropped it because why would I pay hundreds of dollars, possibly thousands of dollars to go see a losing team when I can pay, you know, hundreds, a couple hundred bucks to go watch minor league team just as fun. Kids have just as much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Concessions is less pricey and honestly, a lot of times more interesting. And, you know, a place where I can actually afford a suite occasionally to get out of the heat, you know. Yeah, I don't know how well baseball comes out of a lockout because it's already, it's been struggling to make new fans for a long time. And they finally got their hooks into some folks with the new rules, the new pitching rules, finally have a good image, right? We're past the 90s where baseball players were just a bunch of drunken idiots who were shooting themselves up with steroids and money grabbing so-and-sos. But if they lock out again, we go right back to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope that doesn't happen, but I agree with you. I think the salary cap does have to happen for the same reason.
Yep. And like I said, I mean, it's just kind of funny we bring it up now because suddenly people are starting to speak out about it, you know, the big stars, and you're like, well, maybe that guy doesn't really care about the game nearly as much as he says he does.
Right.
Which is sad because, you know, there are plenty of guys who struggle. A Texas Aggie who used to play for the Indians / Guardians. His name's Tyler Naquin. He was an outfielder. He played. He kept getting traded and traded because he just couldn't perform like he did before. Now he's making his comeback through the Indians / Guardian system as a pitcher.
Yeah.
That's how much he loves the game. Is that he's going to learn a completely different position. He's going to try as hard as he can. Is he going to make it as a pitcher? I don't know. That's really tough in Major League Baseball, but if he ain't trying.
Yeah. If you love the game, you'll try.
You don't care how much you're getting paid.
Right. That's how, like in the NFL, when you get players who have played about 4 or 5 seasons, you can tell the ones who really love the game and the ones who are just doing this for the money. Because the ones who are just doing it for the money, they have a significant drop off in performance after about the 4th or 5th year. And the ones mm-hmm. who are there, like the minute they get their contract, basically, they start to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the ones who are there for the love of the game, they keep getting better.
And you know the ones that are the talent because those are the ones that people talk about the most. Like when Miles Garrett threatened to leave, we were all like, what the hell? What is wrong with this team? Do whatever it takes because you know he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to miss that. Like Shohei Ohtani, I get why he wants that. I don't disagree with how much he's worth because you're never going to see a player like him ever again. He is going to be first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But Bryce Harper, they talked big about him years ago when he got traded to Phillies. And like, that's it. The Phillies are going to win a World Series. They haven't come close.
Right. You can't win games on a single guy. That's the deal. And that's why the salary cap is so interesting because it makes it a game, right? It makes it a, right. How many big stars can I have? You know, everything has to work right. If I pay this guy a ton of money, how much does it hurt me? You know, that's why the whole Deshaun Watson thing is like so painful in so many different directions because they're paying this guy a huge chunk of the salary cap every year to do nothing. And he doesn't work well with the team. If you got a guy who's a breakout star and he's going to play well with the team, do well with everybody, you know, get the guys to run through a brick wall for him, then yeah, he's worth the money. But as an owner, you can't just write those kind of losses off. You mm-hmm. have to understand how much that hurts your ball club.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And in baseball owners, they just don't have that kind of money. They just don't. It's why year after year after year, you know, they're always updating their stadiums. They're coming up with new promotions and gimmicks and concerts and this, that, and the other thing. Because they're just begging people to come in and watch them play. And with 162 games... You just don't feel like you're going to miss out on anything until it comes time for your team to be in the postseason.
Yeah.
And much like NHL playoffs, there ain't nothing like baseball postseason.
Oh, it's wild.
It's just a roller coaster. Every out is a stab in the gut. Every home run is like you've won the lottery. I went to a game last year. We were in the ALCS last year. I went to an ALCS game last year, and I went to ALDS game. And one of those games in Cleveland, we got a grand slam and it was amazing. And then the last game against the Yankees, it was just bad and we just died. But we didn't regret a single moment of going and spending the money that we did. And we went to a few games before that, didn't care that we spent that money. We enjoyed it. We always felt that we usually got, there was only one game where I felt that we kind of got screwed, but I think it was a free ticket anyways. Oh, it was this year. because we bought into a TV package, and the first game of the year that they were supposed to televise, it got all screwed up. So they're like, oh, we're sorry. Here's 4 tickets to go to a game. That's just because they missed one televised game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I can speak for myself that if there is a lockout, of course, I'll wait to see what comes out of it. I don't spend that much money on it to begin with. If I could, I would. But I think you're right. It's weird because for baseball, it just seems weird that it's that fragile.
Yeah. If you were to try to do this kind of thing in like English Premier League football and they proposed a lockout or something, then everybody would back the F off right away. Uh-huh. Like there would be rioting in the street and things would burn down. That would not happen with baseball. Like it's just not that important anymore.
Mm-hmm. So
lots of money stuff.
Yeah. Lots of money.
Lots of money ball. Normally it's sports ball. This time it was money ball. And if you've got different opinions than we do, or you want to put some notes in there, remember, we're on Facebook, Pat and the Fat Man. We're Twitter account at the Fat Man 1238, Instagram at Pat and the Fat Man. And then, of course, the website, patandthefatman.com, where you can always leave comments, suggestions, whatever else. I swear, if you become a patron, we will do whatever you tell us. Just ask our best patron of all time, Travis. Shout out to you, buddy, and to the other patrons who have supported us over the years. Just a dollar a month, folks. That's all it takes. You want to give us more? We'll do even more of what you tell us to do.
And you don't have to get an OnlyFans account. So, you know.
Please help us. Please. So, yeah. Let us know what you think in the comments. We appreciate it. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Go Cards.
Why, Bruce?
It's for the fans.
We don't want that.